2%.
The 2%'s right over here.
Oh, hey, Jenna. I didn't know you shopped here.
Yeah. Anything to support local food. Know what I mean?
I definitely do. Though that's not the only thing you do in the name of Good Eats, obviously.
Well, true. I also host Eating Matters every Wednesday at 5 p.m., where we talk about food policy and how it impacts all of us. Be sure to tune in.
All right, yeah, gotta get the plug in there. I get it.
Yep, I'm hashtag shameless.
You know what else you can do to support the local food community, right?
Well, yeah. Make a donation to Heritage Radio Network, the world's pioneer food radio station.
That's right. And I gotta call you out on the whole local thing.
What do you mean?
Well, The Farm Report, A Taste of the Past, Japan Eats. Those are shows that take you around the country and the world.
I'll give you that. So how can listeners give their support?
It's pretty easy. Just go to heritageradionetwork.org and click on the big red heart in the top right corner. It's pretty easy from there.
Thanks.
Open Table is a proud sponsor of Heritage Radio Network. For more information, visit their blog, Open for Business, at openforbusiness.opentable.com.
I'm Erica Wides, host of Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Episode 177 of The Morning After. I am your host, Sari Kamen.
And I am Leslie Stockton. Today in the studio, we have Cesare Casella. Did I say that right? Yes. You can talk, by the way. And Patrick Dollard. And we'll be talking with him a little later. But first, not food news.
Yes, food news.
Yes, food news.
Yes, food news. But yeah, and before food news, just have a little announcement today. I just wanted to remind you guys listening out there that The Morning After is produced by Heritage Radio Network. We are a nonprofit, member-supported radio station devoted to all things food. So if you would please, please help keep HRN alive by becoming a member today, we would appreciate it. You can go to heritageradionetwork.org, that's on the internet, and click on the beating heart to donate. Do it now, and if you do, you will have our love forever. That's a pretty good deal, huh?
I will love everybody forever.
Well, that's priceless. Give us money. Okay, food news. All right, so first up, a chef in England is currently out of a job. The reason? Because it has been discovered that he was secretly feeding meat to vegans.
Not funny, sorry.
No.
Not funny. Not funny.
Yeah.
No.
And this came out of an Instagram fight he was having with someone, I guess on Instagram. He was talking to a woman who didn't eat meat on Instagram, and he told her that, quote, being a vegan is a minority, and he advised her to find a better way to spend your time, and his personal favorite is feeding vegans animal products and them not knowing. So that wasn't very nice, and then he lost his job. So
Cesare, do you have any thoughts on this?
I know you're Italian, you're a natural meat lover.
Chef.
Well, you know, I love the meat, but at the same time I love it when it's a good vegetable.
Yeah.
I back 2 days ago from Lucca, from my hometown, and pleasure to go in the garden, in my mom's garden, and take the zucchini, ate raw. Without anything. No salt, no oil.
Nothing. You're hardcore.
And it's so flavor. And then you jump in the tomato field and you take the tomato. What is the dressing?
Oh my God.
You have the ingredients, they are taste so good.
Okay, can this be the show today? Can Cesare just talk about eating raw vegetables? I am so entertained.
Plucked from the earth.
I love this show. Okay, well, speaking of meat. A new IKEA, or not a new IKEA, an IKEA has a new product, but this IKEA happens to be in, guess where, Leslie?
Oh, I don't know.
Japan!
Oh my gosh!
Our favorite place to have food news come from. Oh, that's cool. So IKEA Japan can't just be like all the other IKEAs and serve boring meatballs. No, they are serving a ninja dog, which is a hot dog that is pitch black.
What is it, Japan?
Why do you have to serve
Why
so
the
much?
Black meats? Why the black
I don't
meats?
Know. Apparently...
Why, you discriminate the black meat?
No, not at all.
No, easy there.
So, I have a black pig. So, what is it? You don't like my pigs?
Would you serve food infused with charcoal, though?
It's not natural.
It's dyed with charcoal.
Charcoal? You know the charcoal?
Cesare, look at this picture. It's an all-black hot dog in a black bun to look like a ninja.
That can be very porno picture. You see the picture that you show me.
Okay, he's looking at a picture of a large black hot dog,
after you,
and he said
you
it was pornographic.
What's it say?
I just snorted, guys. I'm
what
sorry.
Do you say?
Once you go black, you never go back?
Yes! So I... Is it there? I don't know if it's true because...
Okay.
No, I'm...
You heard it. Yes. You heard it here. Cesare supports it. But in Japan, you have a fan.
You know, in Italy,
they
have all these stuff that... now there was mozzarella, black mozzarella.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Yeah.
That is disgusting. It's a mozzarella with inside charcoal.
Yeah.
Charcoal is good for cooking, not for to eat.
Oh,
you know,
but apparently it has like detoxifying properties.
Yeah, you take
it.
No, you have. You go into pharmacy in Italy. You have this pill in charcoal.
Yeah,
but you eat the pill, you know, eat not blend it with the good food.
So okay, so would you eat this hot dog from IKEA?
No.
So first of all, would you be eating an IKEA in Japan?
I believe. I
don't
know.
Maybe.
I'm a very easy guy.
You know, if it comes highly recommended. Why would you not?
If Cesare told me to eat it, I would eat it.
Yeah, pretty much.
And finally, back in the good old U.S. of A North Carolina couple was arrested for attacking each other with pizza rolls. Now, this one has to hit close to home because it's, you know, pizza, Italy. What do you think about that? I mean, should pizza rolls be used to attack each other?
First of all, I don't know what is a pizza roll.
Okay, so it's like a little snack.
It's a pocket.
It's a little mini snack. On the inside, it's like hot pizza, and you microwave
it. You show something like this. There's a pocket inside.
Yeah, and inside it's like a hot pizza.
Yeah,
and you microwave it.
Before you have the black hot dog, I don't know. I don't.
I know. It's great. This is a crazy food news segment.
I love these news.
So this couple was using these pizza rolls to attack each other.
Hot or frozen?
Unclear. Either way, they could either be burned or scalded by the frozenness. And they were arrested after the fight broke out.
Wait, where were they fighting?
North Carolina.
But where? I mean, obviously it was in public, but where? I mean, are we talking about Totino's pizza rolls? Or are we talking about like a restaurant pizza roll?
No, it's microwave pizza rolls.
She has a very specific knowledge in the...
The devil's in the details for me.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, they're being held currently on a $2,500 bond. If someone wants to help them out, let them... Free the pizza roll.
I need more details.
Okay. We'll come back to that later. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with Cesare and Patrick and talk about their new book, Feeding the Heart.
OpenTable is a proud sponsor of Heritage Radio Network. OpenTable is home to the world's largest dining network, seating over 17 million diners every month. Their technology solutions help restaurants run and grow their businesses. That means providing memorable hospitality to every guest, streamlining front-of-house operations, and optimizing seating to seat more diners and drive more business. Chefs, restaurateurs, and other industry professionals can find more tips and best practices for running a successful restaurant on their blog, Open for Business, at openforbusiness.opentable.com.
And we're back. You're listening to The Morning After on Heritage Radio Network. We are in studio with Patrick Dollard and Cesare Casella. Patrick is the president and CEO of the Center for Discovery, an internationally renowned provider of research, intervention, and residential services for children and adults with developmental disabilities and medical complexities. As a nationally recognized thought leader, Mr. Dollard is one of the field's most innovative visionaries in the development of new models of cost-effective, high-quality care for special populations. Chef Cesare Casella is an Italian chef, restaurateur, writer, consultant, and educator. He is a 2013 James Beard Foundation nominee. He currently holds the position as the Dean of Italian Studies at the International Culinary Center in New York. He is the chief of the Center for Discovery's Departments of Nourishment Arts. Welcome to the show, Patrick and Cesare.
Thank you.
Thank you for to be invite us.
They enjoyed some pizza and wine before coming on the show from Roberta's, where we are today.
Yes.
How was that?
It was fantastic.
Too bene, grazie.
We like our guests nice
plus
and
loose. Plus, we tested the bread from Bread Lab.
Bread Lab. Ooh.
Yes, and the espresso from there. It
wow, you had a very Italian day.
You really
we
did.
We have a very Brooklyn, no?
You're very
life.
Brooklyn cool.
Yes, I feel.
Yes, of course. Well,
maybe I need to move in Brooklyn.
Maybe. So you guys are here to talk about lots of things, including this book you have worked on together called Feeding the Heart. And it's kind of an explanation of what you do together at the Center for Discovery. So, Patrick, why don't you just start us off and tell us about what the Center for Discovery is?
Okay. It's a place that, you know, 40 years ago started to deal with very complex folks who came out of the big institutions. And I learned, unfortunately, early on that food was not a matter of a choice in those places. It was just, it was thrown out on a table. And as we developed our program, we realized we needed food security from antibiotics. We needed food to be much more important about personal health. And so 3 decades ago, we started our farm operation to really grow good food and safe food for the folks. And this was sort of counterintuitive because people didn't think people with complex disease or disorders deserved it. And we thought differently. So, you know, before Whole Foods was a dream of somebody's and all these other things, we were actually doing it, or at least attempting to do it. We got to a certain point, and then, thank God, Cesare flew in and landed, and some 15 years ago took over the Department of Nourishment Arts, our farming operation, our culinary operation, and he's now taking it to a place that we see food as medicine. And it's that simple. It's not that complicated. It's about if you're dealing with somebody who has a complex disorder or a medical disability of some sort, the most important thing you do is keep them healthy, and food is all about that. And so there's a lot of people who are trying to parse this and make this something other than rational. And more places, I think now you see major institutions and hospitals are starting to realize that food is very important. We just happen to be about 3 decades ahead of everybody else. And with Cesare, who actually brought it to another level in referring to the folks we care for as guests instead of clients or patients and stuff, the Department of Nourishment Arts is taking it to a whole nother level, and we're hopeful over the next couple of years to really demonstrate through research how important this is for personal health and ultimately cost savings to keep people healthy and happy. And food can do that to you.
Yeah. I love the term nourishment arts. It's the first time I encountered it. Can you describe what that is?
Well, Ches came to me and he was trying to find a way, and he got caught up on DNA. He thought that was sexy, you know. And then he said,
Department of Nourishment,
Nourishment Arts.
Right, okay.
And then I said, I think probably somebody has that patent. We now own that patent. But he says nourishment is more about what food is about. It's about... And I'll let Ches explain that because he came up with it.
But really, I don't know what it was the word nourishment. I know in Italian, but this is not was a word I use. Come about, I was looking somewhere what is our work at the center. We take care for people, and we try to make sure they are happy and they to give it the best and to give it love. And nourishment is that the word I look in the dictionary, not because many times I translate between Italian, English, and I go in the dictionary, and I thought it was a great word, nourishment, because it's not only the you feed, but you feed with the love, you take care for something.
Yeah. How is growing up in Italy and, like, you know, what your upbringing was like, how has that affected the way your understanding of nourishment and, like, how food can equal love and caretaking?
But, you know, in Italy is simple. We eat, we think about it, we live for it, we live for growing food, and we try to understand better what we eat. And especially, like myself, I grew up in the country. I'm a country boy. And where all my friends, I was a farmer. The restaurant, my family restaurant, is in the country. And we growing our vegetable. We raise the pigs. We raise the chicken. And it's very important what is the relationship from your life. Because your life is a part what you eat. It is a part of your life. And never I know what it was McDonald's. I meet Mr. McDonald 1998 when I was in New York, and there was a strange time, and the first time I ate McDonald's food, and then it wasn't nothing. If you think I look at my hometown, they don't let McDonald's to have a store inside the town. They must be outside the town. Because we don't believe in something that are something not good, but maybe known for what we believe. But for me, it's important the food. And now I enjoy, and that sometimes is bad, because if you enjoy the food and you like to eat, and like back from Italy in the last 2 weeks in Italy, with the food, mom food, is that no? Is that that you're going to have more energy? Let's tell in this way. But it's important, the food, and growing is a respect for the food, respect for the ingredients, and you know when is the right product. And then now, like I grew up with the pigs, and my daughter, she asked, now I raise pigs and I make a salami. And my daughter, she told me, you don't like how you can do. You need to butcher the pigs. And I explained how I grew up. My grandparents, they have a farm, they have pigs. And they have this pig called Mimmo. And in May, we go to the fair. We take the baby pig, the piglet, and we raise it until December, January. Then, when I have January, you butcher it. And for that 9 months, it was the pet. And then, when I arrive in December, you butcher. And, you know, they come with the Norcino. The Norcino is the man that make prosciutto, salami, and you make all the product for all the year. So what do you eat in 1 month, 2 months, 3 months? Because in winter time, there was the time, the only food, there was only what you preserve before. And you have the prosciutto there. That prosciutto was a Mimmo. So Mimmo have the after life, Mimmo, the prosciutto. And then in May, we're going to buy the new piglet. The name is a Mimmo. So we still to have a Mimmo all the time.
Well, that makes sense. I have a question. Yeah. What year did you arrive in New York?
1991.
What was your impression of the product and the food that was available in New York in 1991 coming from Italy?
There was a strange. What I was lucky to think, when I arrived in 1991, I used to come for 1 week every month for consulting. I was working in this place, the name is Coco Pazzo. There was one of the most incredible, beautiful, sexy, hot restaurant in New York, Italian restaurant. And they have great ingredients, but they were different. For example, in Italy, we have the lamb. When we use lamb, they are small lamb. When they are the time of the baby lamb, they eat the fish grass or never they eat grass. Here, the lamb, I saw this dragon. They told me, I asked, what is that? Lamb. Lamb, that is a sheep because it's so big. But the same ingredients, they was good, but different. And then, but for sure, not like you can find today. Today you can find everything, every good. Before there was only for a few people. So you have the right connection with the airlines. So you have the fresh product that came from Italy. But there was only for a few people. Like the fish. I remember there was not easy to find the fish. You have only few vendors that have a fantastic fish. And then today is still something interesting that, for example, the fish, when they go home, is much better. Or the fruit. Here, the fruit, you have only when they arrive at this point that you can, something local. But in Italy, I like the peach when you eat. It's ripe. You have all the juice that come to you. You make it dirty, all the shirt. And the peach, they're so sweet. But the one thing, one fruit that is great here, the cherries.
Oh, the cherries, they are good.
But now, the juicy, wet peach is something never you can have here.
Okay.
Good to know.
It's got a little more sensual than I expected. So why don't you guys explain, I mean, first of all, tell us about your book, Feeding the Heart, and then it seems to be centered on this one philosophy you guys call Seed to Belly, which is just a really lovely concept. Can you talk about what that is?
Okay, I start and then you finish.
Okay.
These are better for finish.
Okay.
So, Seed to Belly is a really... the idea is farm to table.
Farm to table, of course, we all know that one.
But we don't think that we are more smart. But because we care for our guests and we want to be more deep, we started from what is the seed. Mm-hmm. So it's a research already from what are we growing. And then plus... all the vegetables that we have at the center, they are 240 acre biodynamic farm.
It's all biodynamic.
All biodynamic.
Wow.
And then every seed, every vegetable, they are seeded from our guest, for our student, from our adult. And then for us, it's not really big important, so important the seed to put there in the soil, but it's fantastic. And I want to invite you to see the art, but that art is something that's growing in what is the belly. And I explain your belly, because farm to the table, they arrive at the farm, and you deliver to the restaurant that they cook. We care for the belly, want to measure problems of the gut. Mm-hmm. So what we want is only in the way you feed, in the way we serve, in the way we transport, in the way that we move all our ingredients. We try to be sustainable. We are 100% sustainable in pork meat. We are 90% in the vegetable for the summertime. Not yet we can grow lemons. Lime, but I say that almost everything so we grow in there. We grow in ginger. Ma è importante what is the respected ingredients, rispetto the for who we serve. And they are not restaurant, is our guest.
And I think the other celebration in the book is about Cesare and all his chef friends, Mark Gladner and Kevin Garcia, Maria Loy, and Ches will mention hopefully the other folks that pitched in the book. So it's sort of like a cookbook, but it also talks about our philosophy about, you know, food is medicine, it's health. And because we started, you know, 40 years ago with kids with complex medical disorders, G-tubes and all kinds of gut-related issues, food is very important, particularly not putting bad food, antibiotic-ridden food into somebody. And over the last 30 years now that we're dealing with the prevalence of autism, and in that disorder we see gut disease, celiac, and other disease where food is even more important. So the food thing is going to catch on. And, you know, food in general public, you know, we have a lot of foods in our food systems that are really toxic to us. Food could be the modern day DDT, where we don't see it coming and we're hurting ourselves. And so we're a place that wants to try to figure that out. Ches has created a platform with the farming and the culinary part of it. Our chefs know how to prepare the food properly. And now we have a whole research division that's going to start to look at, does this really work? You know, we're a place that we have a saying, we think, therefore we're uncertain. And so we're constantly at work. You know, we haven't arrived. A lot of people see us as pretty special. And sometimes they think we're arrogant because we've sort of been so far ahead of the planet. But it's not arrogance. We're just on a mission to try to figure it out and really provide hope for folks who are running to complex disorders. And I've said for the last 40 years, you live long enough, you join my club. And I think with dementia disease and all kinds of brain disease, food is even more important. And also bad food is even more important, what we put in our bodies. So we have the science, we have the research, we're a pretty dynamic place with multiple universities that work with us. But Ches came in as like Moses. He came in who just sort of started to figure it out and make it work. And this book is about that journey. And we're starting our second book, and we're already in production for the third book. The third book will be a lot more sexy. It'll be more fun. It'll be like this radio show. But the first two are going to be a little bit more, I shouldn't say Republican, but it'll be a little more conservative.
Yeah, that's not a word you're allowed to use. Yeah.
The third
one. We don't throw the R word around here very much.
The third one, watch out. Just watch out. Something's coming.
What kind of changes have you seen, like, with your patients or your guests that, you know, who live in the center, and once they come and they start eating the food that Ches is cooking and serving? What sort of results have you seen?
The real big thing that we've been able to measure is we have a lot of kids coming in who would be registered obese. We get that down, and that's a combination of food and exercise and our remarkable clinic and educational team sort of working together on it. We seem to have that figured out. And Jennifer Frank, who heads the clinical and the really runs the DNA on a daily basis, is working on some other really specific research in terms of gut disease, and we hope to have some more information on that. You know, when Ches talks about food and happiness, that's a big part of it. There's an energy, there's an endorphin that just comes out when you're happy, and I think that's going to take a lot more science that we don't even understand yet, but you can feel it, you can see it, and there's a lot of happiness around that. You know, we prepare almost 2,500 meals a day, so we're a pretty big show, and Ches sort of is the maestro of that. Occasionally I call him Benito, but that's sort of not religious too, as in Mussolini, but no. We don't want to say that too loud. He gets the trains running on time. But we're still, it's a work in progress. And, you know, I think that this opportunity for us to talk about it is that we still have so much work to do. And everything relies on 1,600 brilliant staff who bring it every day, from our farmers to our clinicians and educators and people working in the houses, our chefs and everybody. It's that combination and food and that kind of family energy sort of gets infectious. And it's watch out. Good things are coming.
Let's talk about the back to what you raise. You have your own breed of pigs.
Yes, because a few years ago we tried to bring this specific type of the breed that was in Tuscany. There was a Cinta Senese, and then they don't let us to bring. So we work in that. We created this breed where it's a flavor, nutritional. They're happy pigs, and then we raise free range all the time of the year. They outside, they are so healthy, and then when you have a healthy animal, they're going to be healthy food.
What I assume that your breed is a crossbreed of so what are the breeds?
We brought a Mississippi Black, which was a rare breed that we brought in initially, a big black floppy-eared pig, and then Chez bred that with, or he didn't do the breeding himself, although maybe he did, I don't know, you know, he's pretty
there was
he's,
a raw,
he's pretty
was
familiar
a raw,
with the pigs. But then I think we had the Hampshire and
the Duroc.
Duroc.
And the old spot, there was a play around. I don't know exactly the technical part because I was a present.
Yeah, we had to watch him because he was looking for the lardo. You know, the Italians just want the lardo.
The fat, yeah.
Yep. And so we bred that. And then our breed is called Stonewall Black. So it's this combination. And then I think it's drifted into other...
Yeah, because...
They're like everybody's mating now, so we don't even know. It's,
you know, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Now, what is great, you see the other pigs, they're happy. And, you know, because you raise with love. And you feed with love.
Well, I read that you first got introduced, or you established a relationship with the center because you were looking for a place to raise your cows.
Yes.
Yes, so...
Do you still have cows?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
So I had purchased, or we had purchased through a gift, a very large herd of Chianina from Texas, and also a big Chianina bull called Montopoli. He almost weighed 4,000 pounds. And we had about 40 pure-blooded Chianina in the bull. And then this farmer introduced me with Chez, who had his herd, but it was in a county above us. And I walked into his restaurant, Beppe, once with all of our cows, and I had all of their heritage, their great-grandfathers, their grandmothers, and all of this. And the Italian breed, when a Chianina is born, it's given a letter of a year. So I had a lot of Michelangelo Montepoli, Maria, so you had all of those. Chez named all of his cows after Puccini operas, so he, like, confused us. So we became real good friends, and then all of a sudden he calls me one day, and he says, my cow has been tainted. What the hell? She's been raped. And I go, what? This farmer who was keeping his cows had an Angus bull and impregnated one of his Chianina, and he
because
went crazy.
Because the Chianina, they are from Tuscany. They are cute. They're beautiful. And these Angus, American Angus, there was a... Yeah, and they have all these Angus, and they saw all these white, beautiful Tuscan cows.
So he calls me screaming, and I go, okay, we'll bring them down here. And he brought his herd, and then he gifted the herd to the center. And the baby that was born from that was Chocolata.
We still have it.
Yes, we do. This beautiful Chai Angus, a Chianina Angus, because it's a beautiful girl that just came out. And Chocolata is like, she had a baby, and we called the baby Hershey. We stayed in the chocolate family, and I think we're
Hershey Nutella.
Yeah, we're in the third of, and so we then crossed, because the Chianina takes maybe almost a year longer to get to a place where you can, you know, harvest them. And so we went with this breed, and they're beautiful. It's a beautiful, beautiful cow, and Chocolata was our relationship coming together. Aww. And she's this beautiful cow that still hangs out. And every time she has a baby, Chez and I have to make sure she's okay.
So how old is she now?
She's probably 10 or 12,
at least. Getting up there at least. Those cow
maybe
years.
More.
More.
Maybe 18.
No, 18, but 13, 14.
Yeah, and she's had at least four. I know she's had Hershey.
Soon and, can have a driving license.
That's right.
So you guys have this book that's out. So tell me about, like, sort of what was the goal of the book? What are you hoping to accomplish with having it out there in the world?
Well, I think it's the beginning of trying to introduce to the whole community of education and clinical health that food is very important and that it can't be a one-off anymore, you know, where you just sort of put food in somebody's mouth even though they have chronic illness or disease. So it sort of puts food inside a very important line of clinical supports. And I also think that there's a design element to this. There's a remarkable notion of design, viewshed design, where when you're working in any kind of facility and you look outside and you see a farmer or you see animals, there's a very powerful connection to nature. And that's what we also are trying to inspire, this whole notion of how viewshed and environment can really help the psyche of somebody who's dealing with really problems or trouble. And so we try to introduce that whole notion of not only the food, but looking out the window and seeing animals or participating with animals or seeing farmers working 7 days a week. You know, it's interesting that in human care, it's a 7-day, 24-hour function, whether it's a hospital or a place like us. The only corresponding job, other than restaurants that run 24 hours a day, is farming. And that, if you combine those two, all of a sudden people who are working with both really see the importance of something that is 365 days a year. It's work, and you have to continue to replenish it with, just as you replenish the soil, you have to replenish your staff to make sure they're able to deal with that kind of constant work. So I think the combination, which is a whole design format that will be in book two, about how you create a viewshed where you live that inspires you to feel healthy.
Mm-hmm. Who are you hoping will read it?
I think it's a very interesting book for people that enjoy the food, and not only food for eating. And they are great recipes because thanks to all the chef there, this program they call Master Chef, Da Vinci Master Chef. There are a lot of chefs from
Bill Telepan, who's a crazy devil. He's a New York devil.
With a lot of friends, they come in and then spend the time.
Mm-hmm. April Bloomfield, yes. Mark Ladner, wonderful chefs.
To spend the time there to teach to our cooks, because the guests, they don't live in one big building with a big room, living in the houses. So we have 48 different houses where they're living, all our people. And then we have a kitchen because the food is important, not only how you cook, but the preparation is nice to smell the food, to smell the ingredients, to see, because maybe it's something that gives stimulation and to eat more good food. Who going to read? We hope that reading the people that enjoy the food, they understand that the food is not only the fact that the pleasure to enjoy dinner or lunch, but is something more important. For some people, to eat good food is about the good life.
Yeah, and I think the other piece is that if you read it, you can't get the sort of the delicious nuance of relationships, but you know, Mark Ladner and a lot of these folks, Kevin Garcia, worked with Chez, and it doesn't come out in the book, but Maria Loy, who's probably considered to be the top Greek restaurant person on earth, at least she'll tell me that all the time, fights Chez all the time about Greek versus Italian. And to be in those moments where the Italians learned everything from the Greeks and vice versa is pretty magical. And then the other part of this is that we're actually starting to look at different products. We have a big herb products that are now at Eataly that Chez has developed with John David, who's our healing garden expert. We've brought some very interesting people. Our newest project is a goat farm because we are looking for goat cheese and yogurt because it's easier on the stomach. So we're still in this process moving forward. And then I hope, you know, moms and dads who have kids with lifelong disabilities reads it and gets a sense of what they could do in terms of food.
Don't you think that this could help everyone, really, though?
Yeah.
As well? I mean, our country is just plagued with diabetes and obesity, and you know, there's the nutrition education is almost nothing.
Yeah. You know, when we first took folks out of the institution, a lot of the community folks didn't want people living next to themselves. You know, they thought that their daughters were going to be raped by people coming out of the institutions. And I remember when I would pitch opening some of these places, I'd have to say to folks, this is some 40 years ago, I go, listen, guys, if you live long enough, you join this club. And when you think of it, the onset of dementia and Alzheimer's that is now today, which wasn't 40 years ago, most people at the end of their life are become totally disabled. So you want this, you want us to win, because at the end, it's going to translate to everybody. And if there's ever a time on earth to, with your beautiful sentiment that says we're all in, we're all in. You know, it's the poker game where everybody just takes their chips and we're all in. More than ever, we need to be all in. We need to grab a hold of diversity and love it and learn to deal with it. We have to deal with personal health, long-term health for all of us. And I think we're a place that's trying to deal with it with a very complex group of people, but it's very translational to everybody. And, you know, the other thing that I think your food show is, it also, this is celebrating brilliant chefs who give their time, hundreds of hours, these world-class chefs who really believe what they say. You know, it's not this fancy, fussy bullshit. They actually believe it. And when these guys come up, Bill Telepin and Maria and Mark and Kevin Garcia, they're into it. And then there's a whole bunch of others, which is Chez is their leader. And it's always nice to have the king surrounding you, and that's who Chez is. But the chefs, you know, with their rock star status now, they deserve it because they are bringing food to all of us in a much better way.
For sure.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back with the morning after quiz.
Morning after a quiz, Cesare. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Your name spells in English Cesar.
In Italian, spell it Cesare.
Cesare. But it reminded me of another famous Caesar in America, Little Caesar's Pizza.
It's a wonderful
You've
Italian
never been there.
Fantastic. That's what I was hoping.
Never been so. There. I want to go all the time there, but...
No, you don't.
Never.
Well, you might. You know what? You might. If you want to go get a black hot dog, you might want to go get some Little Caesar's pizza. But
whatever you put your mind to, Cesare.
I'm going to ask you about all the madcap weird happenings that can happen inside a Little Caesar's pizza anywhere in America. So I'm going to ask you three questions.
You too, Patrick.
You too. You can jump in if you want.
I think this is Chezzy. See, this is all Chez.
I mean, you
can phone a friend, Chez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are team. What, are you leaving now?
I can translate the Italian if you
need
it.
Perfect. I appreciate it. So, I'm going to ask you three multiple choice questions about the weird and sometimes mad cat happenings inside Little Caesar's Pizza. Are you ready?
Ready.
Okay. Question number one. A Houston area woman and her son roughed up a 50-year-old man inside a Little Caesars restaurant. What prompted this brawl? One, A, the man walked up to their table and started eating their pizza, just like not saying anything, just eating their food. B, upon the man seeing the woman in the restaurant, told her that, quote, she should not eat pizza because she was already overweight. Or C, after hearing which toppings the mother and son had chosen for their pizza, started preaching that God had not intended for pepperoni and olives to lay together in the same pie, saying, quote, you will burn in hell for this unholy union. What caused a fight inside Little Caesars?
You know, I think the C is the much more complex, more crazy. But never been there, so I don't know how is it there.
It's okay. You don't have to know. No, you can just guess. How,
yeah. I think the C's are more fun. Yeah.
I appreciate that because I made that up myself. It's not the right answer.
But I think it's actually number one.
It's B.
You're kidding me.
Because it's Texas, and men in Texas are special. They feel like they can tell women anything.
Oh, that's terrible.
The comment sent the woman into a rage. She went to her car to get a crowbar.
Oh, God.
But before she could get in any blows,
pizza rolls.
Before she could get in any blows, her son punched the man several times in the head. They fled.
Well, he deserved it.
He totally deserved it. Okay.
I have a different respect and view for women. In Tuscany, so
I believe that
for that to be no, then it wasn't in my mind, in my body.
Okay, I appreciate that. Number two, Ryan Hopkins of Lexington, Kentucky, attempted to rob a Little Caesar's pizza. We say attempted because he wasn't successful. Why couldn't he follow through with his plan? A, he was stinking drunk and could barely slur the words, this is a stick-up, before the employees just ordered him to leave, and he did. B, cadets in civilian clothes from the local police academy were at a table having a meal and quickly just rushed and tackled him to the ground and waited for the real police to show up. Or C, while the employees were shoving money into a bag, the robber got hungry. He demanded a large sausage and mushroom pizza and sat down to eat it. He was so distracted by his meal, so before he knew it, the cops had showed up to arrest him. Is it A, he was too drunk? B, cadets from a police academy were sitting at a table in the restaurant? Or C, he got distracted by the pizza?
Patrick, maybe you went in the Little Caesar, so you know more than me.
You know, I hope it's the one where he sat down and ate the pizza, because that sort of would be poetic. But it was probably the guys who were the cadets.
Are you going to go with that?
Yeah.
He was so drunk. He could not carry on with it. It was one of my favorite ones I read. Okay. Enough of the crimes inside Little Caesar's Pizza. Number three, which one of these is an actual item on the Little Caesar's menu? A double-decker deep-dish pizza with two layers of each, crust, sauce, cheese, and toppings. Double-decker, like two pizzas on top, one on top of the other. B, baked ziti. What, tell me. Tell me everything.
In some way, it can be the pizza orgy.
Yes.
Yeah, because it wind up another, and then what is in the middle?
Maybe another pizza if you want it there.
Uh-oh.
That's a very good point.
No, I was asking.
No rules here.
No rules.
Okay, double-decker pizza, A. B, a baked ziti pizza that includes cooked pasta and four different cheeses on a pizza crust.
Oh, God. That sounds
kind of
good.
Or C, a bacon-wrapped deep-dish pizza that has 3.5 feet of bacon.
Ew, no. Please don't let it be that one.
I think the less disgusting is the number, the orgy pizza.
You think it's the orgy pizza?
I think it's the less disgusting than another two, so.
Yeah, no, it's the bacon one.
Oh, no, why America?
So, no, wow. I understand why I've never been to Caesar.
Yeah, now you know. Now you don't need
so
to go.
So we lost completely.
It's okay.
And yet you won.
You did win.
By losing, you win this time.
Yay.
Patrick Cesare, thank you so much for coming
thank
on
you.
The Morning
thank you
After.
Thank
really
you.
Look forward to your next book and then your next book.
Yeah.
And visiting you on the farm.
Great.
Yes.
See you guys next
thank
week
you.
On The
thank
Morning
you.
After.
Bye-bye.
Ciao. Bye-bye. Ciao, ciao.
Ciao.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening. Mm-hmm.